Then the third discourse from chapter 5 to chapter 6. The Lord says, and this is a strong word, even stronger than before. Verse 21, he says, chapter 5 verse 21, I hate, I despise your feast days. I do not savour your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept. Nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your string instruments. But let justice run down like a river, and righteousness like a mighty stream. In other words, God said, I will not even be there when you worship me. The first is an absence of strength. The second is an absence of physical provision. The third is an absence of God. God will not be there. Now you notice the progression. That when we began to go out of God's will, like the nation of Israel, when they went out of God's will, they had difficulty, oppression. Then as they persist in that road, they begin to lack. The natural circumstances get worse. At first it was difficult, now it's worse. And the worst is yet to come. Which is an absence of God. God is no more in the picture. It is different from Paul in 2 Corinthians 11. You know the difference. When Paul was in difficulty, God was still there. When Paul said that he lacked food, he was fasting, sometimes in the deep. God was still there. So what's the difference between here and there? God is there. God is there. Then a question comes to our mind. Does God speak through circumstances to a certain extent? When we are in His will, circumstances do work out. When we are out of His will, everything doesn't work out at all. Now, when we are in His will, and He's commissioning us with a certain task, there may be satanic opposition. So there is difficulty. But there will be a difference. Because He is there. Because He is present, you never lose the presence of God. It's always with you, and that presence you could seek, and God will show you a way through the difficulty. He will be the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night to lead you across the wilderness. That you may face along the road. So the middle portion is quite an essential area, because as God rebukes the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, in the book of Amos, God begins to tell them those progressions that they are facing. In His first discourse, perhaps the three discourses were given one at a time. And later they all came to be a book. But the first time when He began to talk to them, He begins to tell them that they begin to lack strength. And that around them, their enemies are surrounding them, and they are no more triumphing over their enemy. They are moving out of God's will. You will notice that the moment you don't spend enough time with God, the moment you start walking out of God's will, the first thing you lack is strength. You don't have strength to do certain things, and you don't have strength to overcome sin, you don't have strength to overcome problems that you have to overcome. No more. It all starts when you begin to lose your fellowship and relationship with God. And then slowly, you will in the end lose the presence of God. You lose the presence of God in your life, and that's the most dangerous thing. I believe the most precious thing in our life is the presence of God. Whatever happens, whatever comes. I mean, let them take away the house if they want. Let them take away the car if they want. Let them take whatever they want. But don't take their presence. King David cried and said, take not thy spirit from me. I mean, God could take away his crown. God could take away his palace. God could take away his children. God could take away anything. But don't take thy spirit from me. That was his desire. Because he knows that that is the most important thing to him. If you examine King David's life carefully, at the peak of his career, he was the king of the nation of Israel. 10 tribes in the north and 2 tribes in the south. He was the king. He was one of the richest men in his time. He was the top. Formerly, he was a shepherd boy. He had many children. He was blessed in everything he did. All his enemies were subdued. God gave him favor and grace and gave him rest. All these outward things look fantastic. But it all came because one day there was an old prophet who came and poured the oil on him and said, God anoints you to be king. It all started because of that anointing that came upon his life when all he had was a little harp with a little shepherd boy's clothing and a little sheep staff. And God could change all his circumstances into that because of the anointing that came upon his life. And when he failed God in the case of Bathsheba and Uriah or in other times, when he numbered the Israelites, he always said, God, you are the most precious possession. He does not want to lose God's presence. That's the most precious thing to him. If we never lose God's presence, and we must learn in our 20th century how to walk with God's presence all the time, how to be sensitive to His presence in our daily life. God never leaves us, but we leave Him many times. If we learn the presence of God in our life, literally there will be no such thing as a difficulty. They will all become just challenges along the path of that God wants you to walk. You don't even feel that difficulty. Did Paul feel that difficulty? Well, we didn't finish that. We look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to notice something that he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We must not miss that because it was his introduction to his whole story here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we read from chapter 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. But remember, he started it with verse 23, he says. He says there in verse 23, I speak as a fool. Do you notice that word? I'm speaking foolishly. In other words, he's saying, I'm speaking without meaning. I'm speaking without putting much weight into what those words are, those things are. Although to us, when some of us read verse 24, 25, 26, 27, we nearly fainted in verse 28. So how can you go through all this? And Paul says, look, all these things to me are just foolish things. They are small, small things. We look at verse 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, and we say these are major things. It's no joke to be stoned 3 times. It's no joke to be floating up there in some ocean somewhere. No joke to be beaten 5 times with 40 stripes minus 1, looking like a tiger afterwards. It's no joke. Paul calls it a joke. Look at Paul, he said, I speak as jokingly. That would be our modern way of putting it. I speak lightly. I speak as a fool. Why could he do it? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Verse 10, look at him. He says, I take pleasure. Don't you think it's a funny man? He said, I take pleasure. What is the meaning of pleasure? The dictionary meaning of pleasure is something that you really enjoy. He says, I take pleasure in infirmities. I rejoice. No, he didn't have to grit his teeth and say, praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. No, he take pleasure. When the devil does anything, do you say, oh, hallelujah. Now we understand why the apostles, when they were beaten, they rejoice. It's a different group altogether. Because he had the presence of God. That's why he could take it. There was strength, there was joy. In the presence of God, there is joy forevermore. It's very hard to describe it. In that presence of God, there is a certain kind of peace that the Bible says, peace that passes understanding. In the presence of God, there is a certain a joy that you couldn't express with lips or even with laughter. It's called joy unspeakable. In the presence of God, there's a certain type of compassion that is there that will make you willing to sacrifice anything, like Paul, sacrifice food, sacrifice clothing, sacrifice his life. It's called love eternal. Peace incomprehensible, love eternal, joy unspeakable. This is an experience of the presence of God that Amos is trying to bring to the Israelites, saying that they did everything they can, but because they've fallen away from God, even their sacrifices now lack the presence of God. They lack the presence of God in their daily walk. They lack the presence of God in the work of their hands. In the end, they lack the presence of God even in their sacrifices. It's no more worth it. They need to go back to square one. God says, return to me. The call of Amos was, return to me.